Christians are actually struggling on a daily basis to live out their faith. You, me, everyone. Accepting the gospel message, the gift of salvation, is easy. But putting it into practice is hard. What does living mean now that we are followers of Christ? We read about Jesus' beautiful life, full of power to serve, full of wisdom to answer life questions, full of grace to dispense to people who are in need, and full of God in him. We marvel at his work and are captivated by his life and wanting to be like him, but ultimately realizing that we are hampered by our human nature. The Apostle Paul imitated Christ and invited each of us to imitate him. And Paul recommended singleness without a spouse or family in order to fully pursue his service to God. And our brother Daniel is doing it, and most of us are struggling even with that thought. We love our families, and we love this life that we have here on earth. Still, the question lingers, what good is it to be a Christian? Not just for me, but for the people around me, what good is it? Last week, we talked about our pride and prejudice, our complaint and anger, which are barriers to be saved and to be free by the Word of God. The problems we have are real. They bind us like chains. We can't move toward God unless those chains are broken. James says, the word has power to save and to free us from those chains. And we need to stoop down and park our life by the word. Christ, the word of God, will turn those chains into blessings. So what happens when Christ breaks those chains in your life and allow you to be free? Do you go your own way again? No, I think the journey of 1,000 miles to walk with God begins. And it begins with one step. What is the next step that you will take? Today, I want to focus on that very first step of living the Christian life, so that we can take this journey with Christ and with God. If you have your Bible, would you please turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 26 to 27. I'm reading from the NIV 1984 version. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the word. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, it is your will that we hear this message that James has written to the believers. It is our inheritance, and we receive it today. And we read, and we want to understand. Speak to us through these words, and speak through me, that we will be equipped to walk with the Lord Jesus, taking every step with him from this day forward. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when we look at this text, we can understand that there is a central part of being a Christian, being a follower, and that is to look after orphans and widows who are in distress, who are in need. But before that and after that, James talking about two issues of the heart that will keep us from walking with God. The first issue here we see in verse 26 is the issues of the heart that show up in symptoms of your tongue and my tongue. The second problem that will keep us from following God and being able to walk with God and take the first step with God, again, the issues of the heart. But that issue is related to materialism, how we are polluted by this world. So let me talk about those two symptoms of our human hearts that will keep us from doing what God wants us to do, from taking that first step to walk with God. And they're all related to the heart. First, let's talk about the tongue. But let me do a little detour before I come to the tongue here. When Paul was on his second mission journey through Phrygia and Galatia, and he wants to go into Asia. You know, he go there to Asia Minor, and he wants to make a right turn into Asia. And the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus stopped him on track and said, no, don't go there. So they make a left turn to the sea. And when they come to the seashore at Troas, Paul saw a vision to go into Macedonia, to go into Greek country. And from Greece, then it will go, he will be led to Rome. Why is that important? It is important because the Greeks and the Romans are the people, the enemies of the Israelites. Remember, the Greek conquered Palestine 300 years before Christ. And then the Romans came. So what you see God is doing there is not to take the gospel out of Israel's enemy into a friendly territory, but to take the gospel and go straight into the heart of the enemy, your enemy to the Jews. That's what God said to Paul. Go into your enemy's territory and preach the gospel there. Eternal life had its beginning in Shack as a second-gen ministry. When the door was closed there, God gave that small group of young men and women a vision to plant a new church. That humbling beginning has one single goal: to do and to go wherever God's Spirit leads. And God sent Eternal Life back into Sacramento. Not into the suburb. After a decade of being led by the Spirit of God, Eternal Life came upon another seashore. The Lord's direction remained unchanged. It seems that God is leading us deeper into the city. And so, in the last couple of months, I have heard whispers breaking out in our church, saying, I don't like that. I don't like this direction that we are going. That place is dangerous. Those people are dangerous. I heard that. And so we need to follow what James said here, what God is telling the people of God here, that listen what your heart is saying, what is whispering from within your heart, and compare that to what God is doing, and you need to climb down on your own whisper from within you. The word of God is very clear. You need to change your tongue. Because your tongue exhibits what is inside your heart. And what Jesus said about the heart is that, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these made men unclean. Listen to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And compare that to what you were speaking from within you. What are you saying? Are you pointing finger that that is an unclean place, that is an unclean people? If you are saying that, what the word of God is telling you is that it's not people that are unclean, it's not places that are unclean, it is your heart that is unclean. And I think the last thing we don't want to be is a group of people rising up against God like the Israelites who die in the wilderness. Because we think the fear is out there. But what God is really saying is, no, no, no. The fear is really right in here. Dangers are lurking. And we think danger is out there. But God is saying, no, no. The danger is lurking inside of us. And that is the way you clamp down on your tongue, and I clamp down on my tongue. And that is the unclean place is right inside here. The need to be sanctified, need to be cleansed by the power of God. So I'm going to be looking at the symptoms of the world. James said here that we should not be polluted by the world. What is he talking about? And we can look at the whole book, actually, and take a flavor of what he's saying here through the whole letter and find out what he's talking about here. In chapter 1 that we have studied, we heard James talked about people who are wealthy, who are rich, and so if the status going down, they're humbled by a new status that God is giving them. They should be proud of that. He also talked about the human desires for material things, and he said, no, that is a human desire. It's not the world of God. The world of God is not material things. We go to chapter 2, and we will see that James is talking about the rich and the poor, and we as human beings usually discriminate against the poor and take on the rich, and we said, the rich, sit beside me, you are my friend, and the poor, you stay away from me and sit over there. And James said, it is the rich who defame God. This is the rich who slander the name of Christ. And so don't discriminate because of the social status. But further, James said, those of you who have clothes and food, share to those who don't have. So we get a sense of what the world really is here in chapter 2. But then we don't stop there. We go on to chapter 3, and we see James talking about selfish ambitions as a wisdom of the devil. And it's not the wisdom from God. So what you want to do, your desire to be for your own life, like what he said in chapter 1, the selfish ambition, now he identified it comes directly from the devil, not from God. Humans talked about that as wisdom for living. And James said, watch out. That is not the way of God. And we go into chapter 4, and James here speaks against people who covet material things, hoarded material things. And he also talked about people who committed adultery. And these two group of people, he said, these are friends of the world, not friends of God. And in chapter 5, he returned to warn the rich, said, don't oppress the poor. So we can see in this letter that he has written to the believers that your heart is always longing for material things, for hoarding things, for status, to be like the world, because that is the enticement of the world. Be like me, have a lot. The more you have, the better. That is exactly what the world is. And so watch your heart so that your heart will not be polluted by material things, the things of this world. So in your heart, there's two things that is keeping you from pursuing God, doing the right things, living righteously. First, your heart that condemns people. Oh, this person is like this. That person is like that. If you go there, it's going to be this. There's a lot of crimes there. Criminals live there. Why do we go there? Why don't we just go to the suburb where the poor don't live there? That mindset would hold you from doing what God really wants you to do. The other thing is, well, I can't do that because I need money for this, I need money for that. No, I can't give more because of this and that. Both of those symptoms are the symptoms of the heart. We all need to watch out for. But destroyed us. Now let's go to the central part. Remember I said early in our study of this letter that love is the purpose in which God created us. He created us because he is love. He wants you to be in his love. And so he pours his love lavishingly on you so that you taste his love. And now that you have tasted his love and are built in his love, he now wants you to love others. That is a very simple way of understanding. So sharing what you have with other people in need is the core of the gospel message for you to do, to take the first step to be with God. We need salvation, and God gives salvation to us through the atoning death of his son, Jesus. That's uniqueness of Christianity. We appropriate salvation by faith and not by work. We don't do good works and hope that someday our good work will be so much that God will just give us eternal life. No, it doesn't work that way. The gospel is different. All the religions in the world teach that good work will lead you. But Christianity is saying that Jesus have died for you while you are still a sinner, while you are still the enemy of God. God has already given you eternal life, and the way you come and appropriate that eternal life is through faith in Jesus Christ. And then you live your life afterward in appreciation for what God has given to you. So think about it. We have received the gift of life, indeed the gift of eternal life. How do we go about telling people about this great gift from God? Rather than how do we model out what God has done for us? Here James says, the religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Since love alone fulfills all the laws of God, we are taught here to seek opportunities to love others The word to look after orphans and widows in their distress is a word to tell you to take proactive stance on that. The Greek verb here derived from the noun skopos, which means you set a mark, set a goal there in front of you, and then you intentionally walk toward that goal. That goal is loving orphans, loving widows, and then live your life one step, two step, walking toward that goal. Maybe you're not able to love now, but set that as a goal for you to pursue to love. That is the first step of being a Christian. Death is the enemy of mankind. And death is unkind. Death comes and takes the man from the home, leaving his wife unprotected, leaving his children vulnerable. But what death means for evil, God wants to change into a blessing to the family. And God wants you to be the channel of blessing to that family that is in need. I remember I preached once in a funeral where the husband died and leaving the mother and the children. And I said, according to the scripture, we are to love the widow and the orphans. And there's a man sitting on the bank, chatting, but the intent for me to hear because they raised their voice. And they said, we are doing it every day. They said with sarcasm. The reason they do that is because in this world, a widow is not protected. The widow become vulnerable. Any man would come and harass her and do bad things to her in the way that there's no law against. And they devour the orphan as well. But Jesus strongly condemned the teachers of the law who do that to widows. And Jesus warned that they will suffer the most severe punishment that God will bring to man. Why is that? Because the scripture says that God become the husband of widows and become the father for the orphans. So when you take action negatively against a widow and against the orphans, your action is against God directly. And God will not forgive. Sadly, it happens that men in the church take advantage of widow and orphans. I remember one day I received a call from a woman outside of the church. And she said, are you the pastor of this church? And I said, yes, I am. Are you the senior pastor of the church? Yes, I am. What I can help you with? Do you have a member by such and such name? I said, yes, we do. This man had come into my home and take advantage of me and did evil things to me. My heart was broken because we have people like that in the church. Name in Christ only. but still go out and harass and do bad things to widows and orphans out there. Jesus showed us that God's love for widows and orphans are at the top of what God wants to do. And in Jesus' life, he loved widows and he loved orphans. There are three resurrections that Jesus did when he was here. Two of those have to do with widow and orphans. In Luke chapter 7, we saw Jesus went into Cana, and there a widow followed her dead son's body being carried out to the grave. And Jesus came and stopped that procession and raised up the young man and give back to the widow. The second is the resurrection of Lazarus. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, they are orphans. We don't know how old they were, but based on the stories that we have, they may be under 18. And no one were there to care for them. Mary, the older, had to sell herself into prostitution in order to support the siblings. And she also was possessed by a demon. Jesus came and healed her. Of all scriptures, we read that Jesus loved these three orphans. And when Lazarus died, Jesus came and raised him from the dead. Jesus has demonstrated the love of God for orphans and for widow. And here James said, go and do likewise. Love orphans and widows. As we are following God, we are following Jesus. If God's heart is with widows and orphans, our heart should also be with orphans and widows. Now, let me just bring that to close. How do we make our faith meaningful for us and for others? What good is it for you to be a Christian? You want to be a good father, a good mother, a good brother, a good role model for your brothers and sisters, for your children, for people around you. That's very kind of you, and you have the good thought. What is the concrete step that you must step forward and do something that is meaningful so that your children can learn, so that other people can learn, that you live this life because you believe in God? What is that first thing that you must do that's so concrete that people will see and say, that is a follower of God and of Christ? James said, there's only one. Just as God sent his son to this world and pursue you and to bring you to salvation, because you can't help yourself, you are without a savior, and God come and be your savior and save you and bring you to safety. Now God is asking you to look around you and look around me and see the people who are in need, who need protection, who need safety, and go and secure their safety for them and bring them to a safe place. That is what God is demanding from you and demanding from me. It's not living a moral life. It's not living a rich life. Not living in a mansion. Not living like people of the world, but to live like God, to really look for people who are in need and take the concrete step to secure the safety. That's the one thing that you would do, that God is asking you and asking me to do, and to take that very step, that concrete step. May God bless you and bless me as we hear this message. It's hard for the hearing because we are being pulled back by the desire of our hearts. May we be loosened from those chains that change our heart so that the work of Christ never get done. Let's stand and pray.